The talk today is entitled Born on Death Row, The Sinner's Need of Christ. Let us all bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, please reveal to us our fate and a solution to our great problem, the sin problem in our lives. We thank you that Jesus Christ offers us forgiveness. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is powerful enough to give us strength to overcome all sinful tendencies and to become like our Lord Jesus Christ in character. Please speak to all of us today. We are listening to your voice. In Jesus' beautiful, powerful name, amen. Born on death row, the sinner's need of Christ. Strange indeed is the lot of man. The children of the poor are born to be poor. The children of the rich are born to be rich. The children of the leper are born to carry the stigma of leprosy all through their lives. But more pitiful than all of these is the greatest tragedy of all. Since falling into sin, man is under the curse of death, and every baby born is already under the death sentence. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." But the Bible speaks about two different deaths. The first death, which is the present death we see every day, in the Bible it's referred to as sleep. Because from this, there will be an awakening, a resurrection. Jesus says so in John 11:11-14. "These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. There is a blessed resurrection for everlasting life at the second advent. But there is a terrible resurrection at the end of the millennium for a second death, a final death, a destruction in hell, a lake of fire. Revelation 20:14-15. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book was cast into the lake of fire. The first death is only the consequence of our sins. Every man must face it. The punishment for sin is the second death, which is conscious suffering until destruction is accomplished. Jesus spoke about it in John 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Every man, therefore, who is not saved will die in this second death. The truth is that every baby born has an unseen tag on him condemned to second death for destruction. We are all born on death row. And this is not a joke. It's a tragic truth. As it says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Now this desperate situation moved the heart of Jesus to come down and live here and die for us. Romans 5:10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Now think through very carefully. Remember that Jesus is innocent of any sin. He died on the cross, not only for the first death, but also for the second death, to save us from destruction. All we have to do is accept him as our substitute and savior. And Jesus will say, live, you poor sinner, live. Ezekiel 18, 23 and 32. Here God says, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. And in John 10:10, Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Yes, dear friends, if we are not converted and are not changed, we live on death row and have that unseen tag on us for the second death. We must differentiate between sin and sins. Sins are our sinful deeds done every day. They are like the fruit of the tree. And if we confess our sins and repent, God is willing to forgive and forget them. The bad tree, however, brings only bad fruit. Matthew 7, 17 to 19. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The trouble is in the root, because that represents our sinful nature, our inclinations, and they are stronger than any man. You see this like the mind of men. And if this root is not changed, there is no real change in the deeds. Or if it is just a superficial change, it's only hypocritical. That means that a person puts on a show of good deeds, but really his heart isn't changed. This is what we call sometimes religion. There is a form of godliness, but there is really not a change in the heart. Nobody can save us from this sinful nature. Only Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, can make this change. First, he has to kill that old man of sin, that sinful nature, which is the root of sin that is in us. Then Christ recreates in us a new mind and a new heart, and the sinner becomes a new man. Not only has he the power to withstand temptations and lusts, but bad inclinations and longings are gone, and peace controls his soul. The Holy Spirit has balanced out his mind and life. He is a mystery for Satan. He is a fortress held by Jesus Christ himself. And though man is born on death row and doomed for annihilation, the grace of God has taken him over from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Colossians 1:13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? Our trouble comes from the love we have in ourselves for sin. Sin can be very fascinating and attractive. It has a hypnotic power on man. Many think one sin or a small sin is not really of any account. It's not a bad sin, they say. But the smallest sin can develop into enormous proportions. Sin is poisonous and deadly in the smallest dose. Don't forget that man is a free moral agent. We can choose whatever we like. The decision is ours forever. God created man in his image, but by our disobedience, Satan has impressed his image on every man and woman. And this image can only be changed by coming back to God's image by our own decision and our constant cooperation with God. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But Jesus Christ cannot help those who think they are free from sin and sinning. They think they are good enough for heaven and are self-satisfied and self-content. We must first recognize our sickness, our disease, the sin that's in us. God calls upon us to look at ourselves. Isaiah 1:5-6. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Isn't that a terrible picture? When we stop and really take a good look at ourselves, this is exactly what we see. Notice in Mark 2:17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. One of the greatest experiences that comes in a man's life is when he suddenly realizes that he's lost and condemned to eternal death. Psalm 32:2-5. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You see, then God can begin in him the redemptive work of salvation from the presence and power of sin in him. Man can never save himself. Romans 7:20-24. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Dear friends, this redemption that Christ offers you is not a matter of church membership, or of creeds, or ceremonies, or leading a good life. No, it isn't even an ecstatic feeling in us. The victory in this personal struggle with sin, that is, the inherent old nature in man, comes only by the divine power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 7:25-8:4 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now here are a few steps which we must take because God will never take them for us. Number one, you must go to Christ just as you are. Please turn with me to Isaiah 1:18. I hope you have your Bibles handy. There we read, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Then turn to Matthew 11:28. There we read the following words. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Secondly, believe in the Lord Jesus. That you find in the book of Acts. Acts 16:31. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Thirdly, confess and forsake your sins. Let us turn together to 1 John. 1 John, and there, 1:9. One of the most important scripture in the Bible. 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Fourthly, ask God for a pure heart and a clean conscience. There we need to go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 10 and 11. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me." 5. "Be willing by God's power to keep his commandments." Romans 6. And there, 15 and 16. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness?" The next point is, at all times, have an intimate communion with God through prayer and meditation. Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. 7. Feed your soul daily with the Word of God. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." 8. Keep thinking positive, clean, good things. Avoid all sinful and negative thoughts. Turn with me to Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. 9. Look constantly on Christ, and not on man, not on circumstances. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews, and there, chapter 12. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When Jesus Christ walked on this earth and passed through the villages, all of the sick and lame were brought to him, and he healed them all. He was like a river of life flowing through the wilderness. And lo and behold, on either side of the river were green plants and vegetation springing up. So Jesus came to this doomed earth to people who were doomed to death, and to her children who were living on death row, and brought them the good news. Live. Yes, live. Because I live, you shall live also. Please turn with me to John 14, 19. John 14, 19. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And Matthew 4, 16. Matthew 4, 16. There we read. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. There is a story of a little boy whose sister was critically ill and in need of blood. It was in the early days of blood transfusions when a donor with the same type of blood had to be found. The only person to be found was the girl's younger brother. After some explanation about the seriousness of his sister's illness, the boy agreed to go to the hospital to give his blood. The transfusion over, they wheeled the boy back to a hospital room and tucked him in bed for a rest. The nurse told the boy what a wonderful thing he had done. Wasn't he happy because now his sister would live? But the boy said nothing. He only pulled the covers up close to his chin and lay very still. The nurse looked in again a bit later and once more told the boy what a wonderful thing he had done. Now his sister would live. Wasn't he glad? But the boy only pulled the covers up over his nose and refused to talk. The nurse became fearful that something was wrong, so she called a doctor who came immediately. The doctor likewise told the boy how wonderful and brave he had been. Now his sister could live. But the boy said nothing. He only tried to go deeper into the covers, under the covers. The doctor tried again. How wonderful it had been. When suddenly the little fellow blurted out, "But doctor, when will I die?" "Why, my son," cried the amazed doctor. "Didn't anyone tell you that you wouldn't die?" That little boy, to all intents and purposes, gave his life for his sister. My dear friends, Jesus gave his lifeblood for us. Now we can live if we choose to receive his forgiveness and his life for us. We will no longer be on death row. We will live because he lives. Oh, friends, please make a decision now to make Christ all in all. Make him your Savior. Make him your Lord. Make him your high priest. Make him your mediator, your advocate. Don't make him your judge. You know, many people today, even Christians, do not understand that God has concentrated the whole plan of redemption in one person, Jesus Christ. They think many other religions, even heathen cults, have some merits and good points, which are just as good as the Christian teachings and beliefs. For instance, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, Confucianism, Mohammedanism, and others. They think the prophets of these religions have some merits which are equal to Jesus Christ. Not so. In John 17:17 we read, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So let's turn to the Word of God and see what it really does say. Romans 5:15. It says the grace of God and the gift of life come through one man, Jesus Christ. And it has reached many, many around the world, but not to all, because not all have accepted it. Have you turned to Romans 5:5? Please do it with me right now. We want to see what the Word of God says in all these things, not what my thoughts are, but what God's thoughts are. Romans 5:15. What does it say? "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" And 5:16, Romans 5:16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." So, through one man, namely Adam, the condemnation came to all. And through one man, Jesus Christ, justification comes to all. Take Romans 5:17-18. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." So, through one, all are just, if they accept that life. And in verse 19 it says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Now the righteous life and character of Christ is imputed to all who believe in him and accepted by faith. No other man can do this. No other person offers it, simply because Christ is the one and he is divine. Acts 4:12 says this, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And Jesus Christ is the creator and the upholder of the universe. Hebrews 1:1-3. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Nobody can rival Christ in this. We need a divine human Savior, one who with his divine nature can hold the hand of God and with his human nature the hand of humanity and unite them in one family as it was intended at creation. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. He is the redeeming God in the Old Testament. Under the name of Jehovah or Joshua in the New Testament, which is Jesus in the Greek meaning a redeemer. But Jesus Christ is much more to us than just being the creator and upholder and savior. Our whole salvation is bound up in his wonderful person. When he was on earth, he was the Lamb of God. That you find in John 1:29. He was the temple of God. That's in John 2:21. He was the sacrificing priest. That you find in Hebrews 5:6. After Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and raised, he ascended to heaven to continue his redemptive service in the heavenly sanctuary. Hebrews 9:11-24. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Christ is there now as man's mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is also man's high priest. Hebrews 2:17 and 18. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, in the end of time and in the beginning of the investigative judgment, Jesus is either one's advocate or he's our judge. Our advocate is in 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And Christ is judged in John 5:22-27. For the Father judges no man, Jesus said, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. When the judgment is finished, probation closes, and Christ changes his priestly garments to kingly garment. Then after the outpouring of the 7 last plagues, Jesus returns to earth to execute the verdicts of the judgment. That's in Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Revelation 19:11-13 and 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, my dear friends, the Son of God is all in all. Have you made him that in your life? Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, he is the Alpha and the Omega, as we would say the A and the Z in our alphabet. He is the Creator, the Upholder. He is Michael the Archangel, the Son of Man, the Savior of mankind, the Mediator, the High Priest, our Advocate or Judge, King of Kings, the Eternal God, the King of Glory. The great question today is this. What is he for you? Do you really know him? John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This means eternal life. And there is no other name and no other person, as we repeat in Acts 4:12, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. To accept him as your personal Savior means to crown him king in your life. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Think of it. God the Father made Jesus Lord and Savior. Many today are willing to acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but not as their Lord and Commander. Is he your mediator? Is he your high priest before the Father today? He can be only under this condition, which is mentioned in Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Perhaps you have read the parable that Jesus told where he speaks about the multitudes who wanted to enter heaven but were not let in. In Luke 13:24-27, we hear this. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, that means the narrow gate. For men, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Imagine, Jesus says, I don't know who you are, where you're from, depart from me. Oh, friends, have you contracted with Jesus Christ to be your advocate and lawyer? Because remember, everybody will be judged in absentia. If you have no representative at the court session now in heaven, your case is surely lost. But you must contact him and make a contract with Jesus for this case of yours pending at the heavenly court. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now let's go deeper into this matter. Why is not this biblical teaching much more popular today? Why are not many taking up this gospel program and realizing its fulfillment? It's because so much is bound up in it. Yes, everything is bound up in it. Number one, not to love this world and its sinful attractions and enticements. No, not to love the world. 1 John 2:15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Number 2, we have to daily put to death our ego and inclination. Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And 3, let the Holy Spirit live in us and lead us. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Today, people want security. They grasp for material things that trample all over each other to get what they want. How tragic. Material things will never bring security. The great fear in the hearts of all is the unknown future. There is only one way to find real security. Yes, Christ is all in the whole universe, and he must become all in all by our voluntary surrender. Otherwise, he cannot change and regenerate us. He has given all that he was and had to you and for you. And now it is yours and my turn to give him everything we are and have. He will not take any less, friends. All for all, heart for heart, life for life. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Oh, friend, I hope you have listened to me and no longer on death row. Christ is no longer your judge. You have passed from eternal death to eternal life through him. You have fallen to your knees. You have looked into his beautiful face and you have cried, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And in this very moment, Jesus will hug you, embrace you, and say, my blood cleanses you from everything you've done in the past. And now my Spirit living in you will give you victory over every sinful habit. And I shall be your advocate, he will say. I will stand up for you as a lawyer before my Father and intercede for you and vindicate you and say, Father, I want Jim, I want Nancy, I want Mary to live with me forever in heaven. And the Father will say, yes, son, I give them to you because you lived and died for them. Friends, this is the most important thing to know today. Turn to Jesus and give him all. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright American Cassette Ministries. All rights reserved. To order CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. International calls, please dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. American Cassette Ministries is not a one-man band. It's an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Cassette Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? Our email address is info@americancassette.org. We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and financial support are important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.